Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Welcome to our hosts, Gina McAndrews, Paul Wearson, and Susan Franzen.
We're certainly happy to be together and welcome you, the listeners, on this very busy weekend. We're not even in a weekend, but it feels like it because our stories are all from the weekend. For starters, we have three events to announce for Saturday. Some of the guests will be with us to describe them.
Do we have a few things for Father's Day and the summer solstice as well?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we had room for Father's Day and the summer solstice. But let's see what happens. For many white people in Iowa, the celebration of Juneteenth is a new holiday. At the same time, the Iowa legislature passed at least one new law in 2021 to avoid teaching Black history. In spite of that, or perhaps in reaction against it, city councils throughout Iowa have passed resolutions declaring June 19th an official holiday.
I saw something online, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, actually, that said that the Senate passed a bipartisan bill unanimously making Juneteenth a national holiday, and that it only has to pass a similar bill in the House.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was very puzzled about the saying it passed unanimously. But in the news announcements that have come before our program, I heard that it was passed by acclamation or anyhow, so it didn't have to go through a vote. But basically, it's filibuster proof. It's in the Senate. It's amazing. You know, they can't agree on anything. I didn't think they could agree on whether to go out for lunch, but they could maybe agree on that. And I don't imagine it'll be a problem in the House. Then we'll have a new national holiday, first time since Martin Luther King Day.
Well, that's pretty exciting to have a new holiday, and especially one that makes such a difference to many people.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that I wonder if all the laws making it harder to teach Black history will only make students more interested in digging out the history for themselves, because I've already seen a controversial thing from the National Museum of African American History and Culture about the story of how the newly freed people learned that they were free. And they said the most amazing thing in that story was that it was in the newspapers. This person had read the newspapers of that period. And they said, of course, a lot of the newly freed people couldn't read, but there were Union soldiers in Texas. And the numbers of Black Union soldiers was many, many times the number of white Union soldiers. And I was astonished at that because I didn't realize that Reconstruction, which is often called Black Reconstruction, really was a lot of Black soldiers in the South. So that's interesting. That is one of the holidays we're going to be celebrating. While we're still on Juneteenth, Paul?
Yes.
You worked in Des Moines for many years. Was Juneteenth celebrated when you were working there?
No, I don't recall that. A lot of my interaction with the Black community was in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, 80s, when I administrated the Job Corps program for the Department of Employment Security for the state of Iowa. We did that training program, and it was for people who dropped out of high school. It was an alternative to get a job trade and to complete education. I'm very proud that my graduates were some of the first Black union tradesmen in Des Moines history in the building trades. And so it was sort of an upwardly mobile program. And I had a lot of contact with the Black community at that time. And I don't remember anybody mentioning Juneteenth. And of course, eventually the Kwanzaa holiday evolved, and that was much later. But Juneteenth, in terms of total awareness, that's really very visible, is relatively recent, because I don't recall anybody in those days ever mentioning Juneteenth. It's always been a historical fact, but it's not something that it has really risen to the level of visibility beyond the limited people in the Black community who knew about it. So this is a comparatively recent development in terms of anyone recognizing Juneteenth or elaborately celebrating it. And I think it's probably been emphasized, especially in the last year, because of the increasing culturally wide awareness of the Black experience since the events in Minneapolis, you know. So,
well,
it's interesting to see this evolution, of course, you know.
Yeah, it is, and it's...
Actually, we had a clip with Betty Andrews, president of the Iowa-Nebraska NAACP, explaining the significance of Juneteenth when she was on earlier this month. I think I'll play that for us now.
Juneteenth is an important holiday for many African Americans, and the reason is that it is the celebration of the end of slavery. Now, truth be told, it didn't start until a couple of years after slavery ended, when the soldiers finally reached Galveston, Texas, and made the announcement to the enslaved people there. And there became a huge celebration. So it's a celebration that started actually in my home state of Texas. And since then, the celebration has gone forward, and every year, even the smallest of town, which my little hometown of Rosebud, Texas, was very small, they had huge celebrations every year on June 19th, shortened to be the word Juneteenth. And so this year, and additionally, several states around the country have declared that Juneteenth is an official holiday. And I know here in Iowa, we celebrate Juneteenth around the 19th. And this year, it's very special because Juneteenth actually lands on a Saturday. And so that is celebrated with large either parades. I know in my our sister state of Nebraska, they have a huge Juneteenth parade. Normally this year, they're doing a few things different just because of COVID, of course. And then in other places, they have festivals. I know in Ankeny, Iowa this year, this is their first celebration. I've received calls from other smaller cities in Iowa. And I just heard you say that Ames had their first celebration. Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, they all have big celebrations of this holiday. It's interesting because my other role, I lead Iowa's African American Festival, which happens in the winter, but you know, it definitely goes beyond just celebrating the, in terms of the enslaved people, it goes into celebrating the history, the arts, the culture of a community that has come up from being super oppressed. So it is just a wonderful, it's an opportunity to embrace and affirm the fact that we have come this far. So we understand we have a ways to go, but with God's grace, we'll get there. And that's what this celebration symbolizes. Even in Iowa, we have a Juneteenth King and Queen in the Des Moines area. And there is a display at the Iowa Historical Building on Juneteenth.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Last year, there was a proclamation by the mayor, and then there was something at Franklin Park. And this year, there was a proclamation by the mayor, but then there were several different things, and they were not coordinated with each other. There was something at a picnic at Ines Grove Park, but the one that is on the web is something called, well, it's a Juneteenth celebration. And I was very curious about it because it was hard for me to locate the place where it was. It was in Marigold. And I'd never heard of Marigold. And there was a nice article in the Ames Tribune about it. And I was able to talk with major organizer, Jo Allen, but she couldn't be with us this morning. I mean, they're really going full steam ahead. They're going to have, it's actually in a residential neighborhood. It doesn't have a park or anything, and they must be having a block party and blocking off the whole street because there are two Marigolds with Dawson Drive running between them, and they're all houses, quite new houses, very similar to each other. And so the neighbors must have just said, yeah, we want to have a Juneteenth block party here. And there's a lot of dancing, and they're going to have black businesses, which I presume means some food, as well as other things that you can buy, like in the market. And they will have spoken word artists and, of course, music. But then now I know where Marigold is. Marigold parallels Lincoln Way and Tripp Street and Mortensen. It's just drive up Dawson Drive, and there it is. So that's going to be happening
from noon to 6 on Saturday, the 19th.
In case you just tuned in, we've been talking about Juneteenth here and historically. And Black Lives Matter is organizing an event on Marigold Drive from noon to 6 p.m. Moving up to Zaring, we have another event on Saturday, the Fresh Air Concert, sponsored by Threshold Learning Center. Our guest from Zaring is Greta Reischauer, the executive director of the center. Thanks for being with us today, Greta. Can you tell us a little about the work of Threshold Learning Center and what your work there is?
Well, we do outdoor education classes for school field trips throughout the school year. And right now we're very busy with summer camps and trips. We take junior high and high school kids around the country, get them out of Iowa a little bit and see what else is around in the United States. We're mostly concerned with getting people outside. We think it's very important to people's mental health and physical health to be outside. And our motto is kind of no child left inside at Threshold Learning Center. And we are very small, a very small nonprofit. And so we were looking for a fundraiser that we could kind of count on every year. And about 3 years ago, we decided to have a concert outside, and it was a hit. And last year, even during the pandemic, it was an even bigger hit because everybody could be very socially distanced and wear their mask and wave at their neighbor and still enjoy a fun day full of great music.
Well, I saw your description of the Fresh Air concert, and I actually taped a little, or I should say I recorded a little piece of one of the bands that you have. We'll play that at break time. I got some of Caesar's Goat.
Great Caesar's Goat. Yes, they are one of yours. They're an Ames band, and they are really going to get things hopping in the middle of the afternoon. If you're getting sleepy out in the sun, they will wake you back up. They are definitely a rock band. We have all different kinds of genres, though. We have folk singers and 60s revival, and we've got a country artist. what I think is kind of fun is our local high school band. We have a high school band that rocks a lot of the 60s and 70s. And they've been playing for 4 years now. They all just graduated. But they're going to start us off. I love it because how many times do boys in high school say, we should start a band? And these guys did, and they're really, really good. So they start us off, and then our hometown favorite, Sneaky Pete, ends the day. They start at 6:30 and we'll go till about 9. And they do 60s, 70s, 80s. They're really great, Sneaky Pete is.
What time does all this start? This is Gina, by the way, Greta.
Oh, hi, Gina. The high school band starts at noon. And then about they only go half an hour, but everybody else goes about an hour. So Clint Riddell is the country artist. He'll start at about 12:30. And then it just goes every hour after that, a different group or act.
And then will there be some food trucks and other activities going on?
Oh, yeah. We have a little popcorn stand, and we have Comfort Food Catering from Huxley. They're bringing their truck up. And then the oil press here in Zeering will also be serving their our meat department. They're going to be bringing pulled pork and chicken and brisket and all of that good stuff for sandwiches. And then we do have activities that are kind of going on throughout the day. Threshold Learning Center has a mini golf course, a 9-hole mini golf course, and people can do that if they'd like, or we'll have the croquet and the old-fashioned games up and running, like sack races and things like that. We teach a lot about Iowa history, and so we like to do all the old school stuff. And then we always have bubbles, which sounds kind of silly, but man, it's fun to listen to great music and watch little kids just running up and down that green hill with bubbles flying behind them. And anybody who brought their dog trying to get all those bubbles. It's just a fun day, community day, where everybody just hangs out and enjoys the fresh air and the music.
Yeah, this is Paul jumping in here. Just to remind us, that's the times and the date and how to get to Zeering for people who don't know how to get there.
Oh, yes. We're kind of up here, straddled on the last 2 miles of the northeast corner of Story County. The best way to get to Zeering is to go on New 30 over to Colo, east over to Colo, and then you're going to take that exit and get on Highway 65, and you're going to go up 10 miles to Zeering, and then you'll start to see the signs. You'll take the E18, which is the northernmost exit into Zeering. Yes, there are 2 exits into Zeering. and you take that, and you're going to go east for 1 mile, and you'll see our sign that says Threshold Learning Center. It's a big red barn, and they'll direct you on where to park. And you can just bring a blanket or your lawn chairs. We have picnic tables and awnings, and find your spot for the day.
Oh, it sounds like fun. And what's the earliest event that gets underway? That's this Saturday, is that right?
Yeah, that's this Saturday, and the high school boys will start us off at noon.
And these boys play 60s and 70s music.
Yeah, they really love the Beatles, so you're going to hear some Beatles. A lot of CCR and they're very good at it. The group Boy Crazy, they were with us last year, And when they heard the high school boys starting, the one guy turns to me and says, "Hey, they're good." like we were just doing them a favor or something. But they are pretty good for a high school group that really can't get together and practice much with sports.
Well, it's interesting that they're, that music is so far away from their era, and yet they seem to thrive on it and somehow became interested in that. That's so interesting.
Oh, yes.
Because you don't hear that often, you know.
No. There's one that's a big AC. They each bring their own group that they want to do. And one is a big AC/DC. And my son is in it. And he is 30s, 40s, Carole King. You do not normally hear a boy get out of his car with Carole King blaring, but he's one of those. And then the guitarist is big into Creedence Clearwater, and the singer loves his range must be in a lot of the Beatles. So they do a lot of Beatles stuff. But they're
so there's
fun.
A lot of music, a lot of family activities, and
yeah.
I really like the idea of everyone being outdoors. In fact, your whole program idea of bringing people outdoors in all the way you do is really kind of refreshing in an era when we all think of young people being tied to screens and indoor things.
Right.
You know?
And we try very hard to get them away from those screens. And, you know, we do overnight camps, and I say I don't want to see them. I really prefer that they don't even bring them. But, you know, they've got to have that connection to be able to call home or I don't know what. As long as I don't see them, that's fine. And even on our trips around to other states, the first day is everybody worrying about where they're going to plug in and recharge, when they can stop and do that. Is there a cord in the car? You know, they're all worried about that kind of thing. And it's halfway through the first day, and I notice they start forgetting them in the car or forgetting them somewhere. And by the end of the trip, nobody's on it even. They're sitting in the car talking with each other about real things. And I think a lot of parents think, you know, they throw that initial fit about not having it, but stick to your guns, because once they put it down, you get some really good stuff, and they don't actually die without a phone in front of them. They may be screaming it as you take it away or as you say, "Please put that away." But it does not take long at all before they re-engage with the world around them. And that's what we're trying to teach is interact with the world and the people around you.
Greta, can you tell us a little more about your learning center? And it sounds like you've planted a lot of trees. I have a little acreage here in the southeast edge of Ames, and I've been planting trees the last few days as well. So,
oh yes, we originally, when we got the land, there was nothing on it. It was just an abandoned field. And so we do have woods that surround the creek that runs through the property. But it's all trees that either blew there, because like cottonwoods, or got pooped there is what I tell the kids, like mulberries and that kind of thing. And so there wasn't much diversity.
How many acres?
It's 28 acres. Yeah. And so we decided to try to diversify how many tree varieties were out there. So we originally planted, I think it was 1,600 trees between the whole property. We put up a windbreak and dividers, and we've got an arboretum. Our arboretum is more of a memorial garden. Each tree is in memory of somebody from around here. But it shows a lot of different varieties that are found here in Iowa or in the Midwest. And then we lost a lot of our big old cottonwoods in the derecho last year. And really, it looks like a big giant came through and just topped our whole tree line. And so we decided we need more trees. So this spring, we did about another 600.
Wow.
Yeah, all my new little babies with the flag right next to them. I keep telling the kids, watch out for my babies. Don't step on my babies.
Now you need some rain, too.
I really need rain. It's getting old watering all of those every other day.
I bet. So it sounds like you have some campsites as well?
Yes. Yes, we have. We're members of HIP Camp, and so we have people from all across the country that will come and camp, or the barn is actually a 1953 barn that we renovated, brought into the property, and then renovated into a dormitory. So it has 7 rooms down below that people can stay in, and it has 2 restrooms. And then the upper level of the barn is a big community center, like dance hall, and we have weddings up there, and it has a kitchen and a stage.
Oh, wow.
So some people come and stay in the barn in comfort, and then some of them, we have 3 different campsites that you can choose and camp out at.
And what do they charge for that, or is it a donation, or
to camp is $15 a night. And then to stay in the barn is $75 a night. And then they kind of have, right now we started because of the pandemic, we started not double booking, like we don't want anybody else to be on the property. And we've kind of enjoyed that because it's easier and slower for us, but also our guests like that they can just do whatever they want and enjoy what they want without having to interact or share a bathroom and wait in line and all of that good stuff. So now you'll have the place to yourself. So we have all the trails and trees and prairie, and we have a big, huge fire ring that you can have a nice big old campfire, and we have the mini golf and the arboretum. So there's lots to do when you're staying at Threshold.
And then is it tent camping or camper driving?
We prefer tent camping, but we do have hookup. We have had people pull in their RVs. We don't have water for their RVs, but just north of us is Dakin's Lake, Story County's newly renovated Dakin's Lake campground. And so they can go to that dump station, or we've had some big family reunions where the camper people are up there and then the not so campy people are at Threshold in the barn. And
when do you do your programs with the kids? Like just in the summertime, or do you do all year round?
We do all year round. During the school year, we have schools that come out for field trips. We do programs in all the sciences, Iowa history, nature appreciation, conservation, technology, and just like in the fall, we do a lot of, I tend to do a lot of bat programs. And we talk about how bats aren't so bad. And then in the winter, we have nice hills for sledding, and we track some animals and finish up with hot cocoa. And in February, I do a lot of the Love Birds program. That's learning about birds and bird calls and how they get together with those bird calls. It's kind of a play on love. But yeah, throughout, and then the spring is a lot of our water quality testing. But we do geology, astronomy, all of those. And then in the summer, we're very busy with the trips and the day camps. And then we also, during the school year, have an after-school program, a kids' club.
Wow. So are your trips kind of 1 or 2 days or a whole week? Or?
Well, we the idea is that they kind of grow with Threshold. And so we have the day camps, and then their next step is to do the overnight camp that's here. And that's sometimes their first time away from home. And that one is just 2 nights, 3 days. And
what
we
ages? How do you change the ages there?
Well, they can do day camp till 6th grade. Hmm. And then they come to overnight if they're going into 5th through 7th. And then when they're going into 7th through 9th, we have shorter trips that are just to the states surrounding us. This year we went to Nebraska, and next year we'll be going to Chicago. We've done Minnesota and all the ones right around us. And those are usually 3 or 4 nights and 5 days. And then our high school trips are a week to 10 days. And we go out. Last year we were able to go to Maine. That was the only trip we were able to do. Wow. Due to COVID. We had to cancel the others. But we were able to go to Maine. And then this year I have 12 high schoolers going with me out to Oregon.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Yes, it is. It's very fun. And this group of kids, they are the ones that have kind of done what I was hoping for. They started at doing creative nature camp together when they were going into kindergarten. And now they just graduated, all of them, most of them. And we're going to go on one last trip, and they've done everything with us through the years. It's kind of nice.
Wow. Do you ever need volunteers or chaperones for these trips?
I get asked that all the time. Or when are you going to start doing adult trips? And so I might have to look into that.
Too much drama.
It is. I was telling my husband the other day, because somebody said something to us. I was like, well, adults are actually worse with their allergies and their sleeping patterns and their CPAPs, which I have, by the way. I'm not making fun of CPAP people. And, you know, they have all of their things. They're a little more picky than the kids.
Yeah, I can sure believe that. So how did all this get started?
Oh, well, I grew up at a church camp. My parents have had us camping always. And then I think what got me was a trip to Springbrook, where the state facility that used to run programs like this and have overnights. And I just thought that was the coolest job that naturalist got to play outside all day and go through the woods all day. And she was technically working. But I just thought that was really neat. And I grew up with 2 teachers. I was not going to be a teacher. I was going to have money. And, you know, 4 teachers. And then after deciding I really didn't want to stay in a chemistry lab, being a chemical engineer making big money, I ended up being a teacher. But the way the classrooms are today, I really struggled when I was getting my degree with being in the regular classroom. And so my father was running a camp called Astro Camp out in California, and they did mostly physical science and astronomy. And I went out my one summer for my internship, and I thought, no, this is the way to teach. This is what I'm going to do. So I've worked, I I ran Kiwanis Riverview Nature Island down in Des Moines. That was interesting to run a nature center in the middle of Des Moines. And then I was at the 4-H, Iowa 4-H Center. Uh-huh. And then we actually went back to that church camp where I grew up. And we taught there for quite a few years. And then we just decided maybe we should try it on our own. One thing that we were always a little upset with the other groups was a program would take off and they always wanted it to get bigger and more and more and more and more kids in it. Well, then every time you start adding more and more people, you have to streamline things so that it works better. And so we went from taking a 2-liter bottle, building a rocket out of it yourself, putting on the cone, putting on the fins, putting on everything, cutting it out the way you wanted to, putting the water in, putting the pressure in, and pulling the trigger and watching that rocket soar up into the air, to here are the fins already cut out, here's the tape, here's your little wad of clay for the cone, and put it on there and push this button. And I think some of the physics got lost during all that, yeah. You know, the quick way. And so our motto is that we're not ever going to get too big. And that has made it more difficult financially, but I think we've made a bigger impact with the small numbers that we've had.
Oh, I bet.
Before we leave the northeast corner of our listening area, I'm reminded of the time I went with you, Paul, when you were volunteering at Colonesco School. I was impressed with how sweet the students were to you and thought this was a very nice school. Do you encounter any aspect of the Threshold Learning Center while you were volunteering up at Colonesco?
No, I was teaching a course on public speaking for RSVP. So that was an 8-week program where every child gives a speech. And I never really had any awareness of the learning. And this is all new to me today because it's fascinating. And I just didn't know that existed in the Zering area. And I'm fascinated. I'm trying to be a good listener because I didn't know about any of this. Now, that might be why people should listen to KHOI, Susan, okay?
Well, that was always our idea, was that we were introducing people of neat things they could do. And actually, this weekend has been crowded with a variety. And one of the ones that we really don't have time to do more than mention is the Rosefest State Center. And well, that's a huge thing. That's this whole week, and they have a parade. When I read through the events, I saw it was like the Vichy parade used to be. It was like an hour and a half or 2-hour parade. And but I won't go there because we don't have time. The one thing that we do have time for is to mention on Saturday night that Local Talk will have Tom and Doug doing a fundraiser for KHOI at Dog-Eared Books. And presumably, if you've been listening to Local Talk, you've been hearing various reminders for that at 7 to 9 p.m. on June 19th. This is Local Talk on KHOI, and your hosts, Jean McAndrews, Paul Bearson, and I, Susan Friends, and have been traveling to new places for events that bring us together and warm our hearts. Do you have something to change the pace as we close out the show?
Well, we sure do. I think, Susan, you have a feature with the community theater?
We have been featuring the virtual readers from the Virtual Readers Theater in Ankeny. And then we went to the Boone Community Theater's performances in the park, starting with Halloween. Outdoor theater, depending on the weather, tended to be too cold or too wet. Now it's the too hot season. So they came up with a solution. They've live streamed their last production, The Last Dragon, which we covered and heard about on KJY, but they made DVDs. I'd miss it because of the too wet, so I'll be happy to find out how the DVDs work, and we have Susan Herrick, the director, to tell us about it. Hi, Susan.
Good morning, Susan. Thanks for having me. Because we put our performance out at the Herman Park Pavilion, we were undercover, so we were always dry, but it was a little chilly on Thursday night and Friday night. Our Saturday matinee was lovely. The only problem was being outside, even in the evenings, early. We can't black anything out. So, of course, our audience just had to realize that when somebody fell down at the end of a scene, they were going to get back up and they were going to see that happen. But we had great audiences who enjoyed it very much. So we're not able to live stream, but we did have a DVD made, and you can either get a digital download from that or the DVD, and you can access that at our site on Facebook, which is Boone Community Theater. And we certainly would invite people who, when it's too hot to be outside this weekend, maybe you'll want to stay in your air conditioning and watch The Last of the Dragon.
Okay. So do you have anything coming up live now that we're finally?
We have a whole season coming up that'll be live, happily enough. Our first auditions will be July 6th and 7th for Treasure Island. And so we'll be looking for lots of pirates to join us for Treasure Island. And we'll have our auditions at our offices here in Boone on Story Street at 705 Story Street. And that'll be July the 6th and 7th at 7 in the evening. We encourage everybody to come audition for that. And we have announced our season, which in December will be Little Women, Merry Christmas. In February, we'll be doing I Do, I Do. And then in the spring, because we haven't paid the rights for it, haven't gotten the rights for it yet, all we can say is it will be a youth production that will be marvelous. So anybody who follows any youth theaters will understand maybe what we're talking about there. So we're excited. We also are going to have some stage combat and safety classes so that people will get used to doing sword play. And also, our Facebook page will also tell you a little more about that, but that'll start next Monday. Okay. So theater's alive and well in Boone.
And you're having auditions.
Yeah, auditions will be July 6th and 7th.
Okay. Well, before we go, I have one little PSA that comes from the STEM camp that was discussed on Monday. When I called for a follow-up, they gave me this one-minute PSA, which ends Monday's information on a fun note. So here is Iowa STEM Summer Camp.
Imagine being a jet pilot chasing the sunset, or a captain setting sail to somewhere far away, or pushing an island of barges the size of a football field down the Mississippi River. Discover how we travel by air, land, and sea for work and play. Find out how everything we need comes by ships and planes, trucks and trains. You'll learn from the experts who do this every day, pilots, captains, over-the-road truckers and engineers, and soak up everything they know. For two exciting weeks, Iowa 7th, 8th, and 9th graders can change their lives. You'll hang with kids like you at the virtual Iowa National Summer Transportation Institute. It's easy to sign up. Just call Patty Barr at 651-226-4603 for an application or more information. The Institute is hosted by the University of Iowa and the Civil Rights Bureau of the Iowa Department of Transportation. But hurry, we start June 21st, so give Patty a call today. And what's best of all, the camp is free.
Well,
it sure sounds like we're going to have a lot of activities to do this summer that'll make up for last. We've got theaters and camp trips and all sorts around just Story County and Boone County. So what are you going to be doing this weekend, Paul? There sounds like we have a lot of options.
Well, one thing I do a lot of is PA for the high school baseball team, and we're having a great, this is Roland's story, and we're just having a great time. They're winning most of their games, but up in the announce booth, it gets very hot. I have to bring ice with me, and it's been kind of stressful to be up there in some of the hot days we've had. So that's one of my main avocations, but I'm trying to get some work done outdoors. Up here on the farm, I used to be very active, and we've got a lovely farm here, a lot of white plank fence and trees, and I know that you're into an acreage too, Gina, so you know it's a lot of work. But I'm just watching my lawn turn brown, and I'm planting some flowers here today that I want to put in a shady area here, and I know I'm going to have to do a lot of watering. But I just try to do things in the summer up here that are probably just summer-oriented or for the long term, you know, maintenance of the place, a lot of painting and things like that. So that's one of my things that I do. But my biggie every Thursday is the Bandshell concert at Ames. I never miss the Bandshell concert. I think that is one of the great treasures of Ames. Dr. Mike Galimo is the director, and boy, every Thursday night, people take their lawn chairs, go to Bandshell Park, and it's really a great mix of music, all kinds of music. There's always a vocal soloist, and I never miss the Bandshell concert. So between doing PA for the baseball team and the Bandshell concert, that's my regular thing every day or every week in June and July, and I think that those are just great things for the summer that I always do, and I didn't get to, well, we did do baseball last summer, but I dearly missed the municipal band concerts at Ames. They were just terrific. And, you know, KHOI, I think KHOI does a great job of spotlighting and informing people of the music scene in Ames. I think that's one of the great contributions KHOI makes to life in Ames. There's a lot of music going on in Ames that I don't think people were aware of before KHOI gave a lot of these bands and groups exposure. And look what we've been talking about today with the event in Searing. And there will be more music groups up there. And this whole learning center up there was news to me. And that's why we do this Wednesday show, you know, what's going on elsewhere that you don't know about. And I think it's invaluable that KHOI does that stuff. I'm still trying to grasp all that she talked about that learning center up by Searing, Iowa. It was totally unknown to me until today. And she sounds so dedicated, and it sounds like so much fun this weekend. I'm just beside myself to know that I learned something since I got up this morning. And I learned about something that's going on not too far from me. It's very creative and innovative. And boy, getting kids outdoors, I'm really for that because they're tied to their screens. And I predict that their kids will make fun of them for being tied to their phones and just, the next generation always rebels, you know, so their children will probably be very outdoorsy and make fun of mom and dad because they have screens on all the time. But it's really nice to know that someone is keeping kids in touch with nature and the real world, okay? It's time to be in the real world. So I really endorse what she's doing. Well, Scandinavian Days this year will be one day. It's going to be the 24th of July. And most of that will be in the park area in Story City. And that's scaled down from what usually is a two-day event. And this year there won't be a parade. but there'll be a lot of activity in the park. So it'll be scaled down a little bit, and that's sort of a residue of COVID-19. And then Susan and I will be doing a special coming up here, too, about the sesquicentennial and Roland coming up. So we really had a lot of fun, Susan, haven't we, promoting and actually traveling to some of these festival sites. Every town has their festival, and they're just fun, and it's great to talk to the people who are promoters and key people in organizing them. It's just very, very encouraging to see people involved at that level in their own little town. You know, they're all believers, and I love encountering them.
Well, you've already given a little preview of what we're going to be doing next week, so we look forward to Sesquicentennial 4th of July in Roland. But now it's...
You've been listening to Local Talk, and we sure want to thank Greta and Susan for joining us today here on Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen, Paul Wearson, and myself, Gina McAndrews. Other voices you heard were Greta Rischauer, the Executive Director of the Threshold Learning Center, and Susan Herrick, who is directing The Last Dragon and also produces the Boom Community Theater.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. At noon, there will be a replay of Capital Week. And you can listen to today's special Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard briefly was Kiss That I Kept by Caesar's Goat. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! At the top of the hour. Morning Masterpieces will follow at 9 a.m.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, please contact us at 515-292-2878. That is 515-292-2878. Or you can contact us through our website at khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know if you want to become a member, or you can also renew your membership today by just getting on the website, khoifm.org, and hitting the Donate Become a Member button. If you enjoyed the show, please tell all your friends. Remember that your participation as a listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.